When a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, he hears it. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Doc.
That's right, kids. It's time for a little Fish Talk. We call him the Doc here in Outdoor Journal, but he's known as Gord Peiser, fishing editor for Canada's most read national outdoor publication, Outdoor Canada Magazine, and he also blogs for Ontario, Ontario Tourism. I mean, he is everywhere, and he even has a little piece of the Fishing Canada website, I see. Look at you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm roasting to death up here, Ange.
Of course you are. You got to tell us you're in shorts, a T-shirt, and it's like 100 degrees, and the fish are jumping in the boat.
You should have actually been here this week. I hope the weather stays for you. But nice. Yesterday we were 33 Celsius, 92
wow.
Fahrenheit.
Wow.
And it's very same today.
Well, what's it doing to the fishing, Gord? I mean, we talk about extremities. Holy mackerel, like we're going from freezing to boiling here overnight.
I was going to post a picture, Ange. I took one earlier in the year when we were ice fishing. It was minus 30, and yesterday was plus 33. So that's about 170-degree difference in temperature.
Wow. What does that do to the fish?
Ange, the interesting thing, because it's springtime, I was out both for smallies. I heard you talking with Will there. And so on Thursday, I was out for smallies and walleyes. And the interesting thing, the water temperature, believe it or not, I found in the back bays, I found it as much as 63, 64 degrees. The lilacs are blooming, the crappies are spawning, the smallmouth are nesting, but the walleyes, you can catch them in 4 feet of water, and you can catch them in 28 feet of water. So it's that spring period when they can be literally everywhere.
And these are post-spawn walleye, right?
Oh, but wait, but, you know, it's a month now,
a better
part of a month since they spawned. So, you know, if you find them shallow, they're super, super aggressive. I was out in 28 feet, and it was really, really interesting because I was marking them, and I could not get them to bite. And one of the things I like to do, I carry a little underwater camera with me, and I was absolutely convinced they were walleyes. I knew they had to be, and I dropped the underwater camera down, and they're looking in the camera right at me. And it was so amazing. I was on a shoal, an underwater point that ran out. So imagine again, 33, 34 degrees Celsius, flat calm, like it was desert-like conditions. And they were all parked facing one way. So, and it was right on the shady side of the structure, and they were all like sentries or like soldiers. And it was amazing to see them reacting to the sunlight that way.
Gord, what was their state of mind? I mean, you said they were all pointing the same direction. They were staring at the camera, obviously very inactive.
Yeah.
What do you think their state of mind? What are they doing? What are they waiting for?
They were waiting for evening, and it was amazing. I'll be honest with you. I struggled. I was out there like this was probably 2, 3, 3:30 in the afternoon. And I mean, I was catching them, but nothing like I should have given the number of fish that were there. And the minute the sun started going down, I'm not even going down. It was probably like 6, 6:30 in the evening. All of a sudden, they came a little bit higher, and then a little bit higher, and a little bit higher off the bottom. And when they hit about 2.5, 3 feet off the bottom, they went crazy. And it's one of the things, you know, we talk so often about having sonar in your boat, and having good sonar GPS unit, it's so good. But it's not just to find the fish, it's to tell you their mood.
Yeah, I call it their state of mind because that's the most confusing part, especially with walleye. You know, you just said something there that you had shallow fish and you had deep fish. And I'm going to ask you a question now. When you encountered those shallow fish, the aggressive shallow fish that were biting, obviously, was it during the day?
It was, Ange. The one thing on Lake of the Woods here, our water's not, people always envision Northern Ontario, every lake's crystal clear. Lake of the Woods is a really dingy, for the most part, dingy water. When Lavarandre came through here in the 15, 1600s, he wrote that a frog could walk from one side of Lake of the Woods to the other and not get its feet wet. And when we get those algae blooms, those green algae blooms in August, it's like grass on the surface. But right now, it's suspended, and the water's turning over, so it's pretty dingy. And when they move shallow, and that's something, you know, if for the listeners listening to us, if you can find shallow fish versus a deeper fish, always go for the shallow fish. And if you're fishing deeper fish and they're tight to bottom, they're generally inactive. And the higher you can find them coming up off the bottom, so they might be 2 feet, those are the ones that are becoming really active. So use your sonar, as you say, Ange, for that state of mind and to tell you what your best presentation is going to be.
And to totally confuse everybody on this subject, because, you know, I've been chasing them down for 40 years and I still get confused on a regular basis. This can take place on the same body of water in the same area at the same time.
That is so funny you say that. And I was within sight of where I was catching them in 5, 6, 7 feet. And I find another school out in 28. And I had difficulty doing the same things on those same fish.
Yeah, so that's why I call it state of mind. It's almost like each school has its own personality.
Yeah.
And you can't write a book. You can't say for sure this is going to happen at this time of day under these conditions for this species. You just can't. The only way to do it, and the reason why, I mean, more than one reason, but the reason Gord is so good at his craft is because he spends so much time under these conditions that we're talking about, so much time, you know, going through the trial and error process that eventually you get in tune with these fish. You start almost making predictions and calls, calculations, all going on in your head at the same time, and you start not understanding them, because we certainly do not understand them. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for those days like you just told me about, where you're looking at down at them, you bet to put a camera down to make sure you were seeing the right fish. If it's not for those days where they're not biting, you would not figure them out. You need those bad days. So
100%,
we have enough of those.
100%, Ange. Well, you know, I often think we're getting too old to keep learning. Give me some of these easier days. But I put the camera down. I honestly thought, these things, I've got to be over top of school of suckers. And then I put the camera down, and as far as I can see in the distance, they're scattered individual walleyes, all looking in the exact same direction, not moving, not finning. They're just hanging in the water column. And it was just so neat to see.
If I could only read their brains, buddy, I'd make a fortune.
listen, you're going up to Lac Seul. And
yes.
It's funny you even say Lac Seul. That's my adventure getaway. We're working actually right now on the fall edition. And that's my pick for probably the best lake in Ontario to be going to this fall. But Lac Seul is, I think, one of the best drive-to fisheries in the province.
Oh, without question, Gordy. It's just, I'm so excited and looking forward to getting up there. The best part about this trip to Lac Seul is totally different than anything we've ever done before. We're actually going to drive and then we're pulling a FNC1 up there, and we're going to put her in the water, and then we've got to go 45 miles by boat to a cabin, an outpost cabin, somewhere in the north part of Lac Seul. So very excited.
And are you going out of the Sioux Lookout or the Ear Falls area?
I believe the Sioux Lookout.
Oh, yes, yes. That is, from my perspective, that is the better area as well.
Now, what can you give me? What do you think we're going to encounter?
I think you're going to find them, as I did, Ange. If you like fishing shallow fish, you're going to be able to fish shallow. If you like fishing out deeper, you're going to find them out deeper. If you like pulling spinners or slow death, you'll be able to do that. Jig fishing on Lac Seul is always a go-to method. Jig and a live minnow if you really want to go that way, or a jig and a swim bait. I think in the spring, given the water conditions, are going to be absolutely optimal for when you're there. You can pick your poison.
Wow. I'm all pumped, buddy. We might give you a call on the way through your neck of the woods, get some more information from you.
Yeah, anytime.
So, all right, brother. Gordy, thank you as per usual, my friend. Love chatting with you. Have yourself a great weekend, would you?
I'm really looking forward to hearing the results, Ange.
All right, brother. Take care.
You too.
Gord Pizer, the fish doc on Outdoor Journal Radio. You can check him out at Outdoor Canada Magazine. He is also on all of the tourism, Ontario tourism guides. You can read him anywhere. Just punch him up, Gord Pizer. If you don't have Outdoor Canada Magazine delivered to your home, shame on you. Just go to outdoorcanada.ca and tell them the doc sent you, and they will fix you up.
Yeah.
All right, I got to pack some gear, Stephen. Hopefully you'll help me. A lot of stuff I got to get packed into the old ramp. So that are it for us this week, folks. On behalf of the entire ODJ staff, our producer, Jonathan Winters, JW, Stephen Labadie behind the glass, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday. The preceding